We are being taped. Order. Senator Claussen, did you want to give an up? You'd asked for some time to talk about your. Would that fit here?
Just a quick.
Everybody, Senator Claussen's got an update for us on some of his work.
Just a quick comment. I think I've been through the process 5 times, and I think over. That's the legislative process. I think there's been a lot of dissatisfaction about the occurrence of candidates that are not recommended by this group, candidates that are never even considered by this group, ending up in some voting situations either in the higher ed committees or in the joint conference of the House and Senate. So we're working bipartisan group to look at some changes in the process through our Rules Committee. It's not in statute on how we deal with this as a legislature. It's in our rules. And so in our joint rules, we're working to potentially make some changes or at least consider some changes.
Well, thank you for that. We appreciate your work on this topic. That's pertaining to after this group is done with its work. And I really appreciate it. I know last year you... when I was up there testifying about the work that we did, you were very supportive in that, in underscoring that for us as well. So appreciate that. Now I want to just go over, you should all have in your packets, this little document that says selection procedures. Because I'm sure, particularly for those of you that are new, I'm confident that the first question in your mind is how is this all going to work with voting? So I would encourage you to go through particular. It just starts with number 2, are the procedures for what we're doing tomorrow. And item 1 is what we did last. What we did to choose who is being interviewed. As the rules are currently set up, and I'm going to encourage Sally to interject here as I misstate things. So we are currently fully appointed. So we have 24 members of this council. That will impact what we do tomorrow because a lot of this is based on how many people are, the membership of the council. So we've had how many? We've had a couple people that have not, or just one. How many?
Student in.
Is that the only one?
Two.
So.
Three.
So we actually have 21 people probably voting tomorrow, right? But everything is based on the 24, unless we suspend the rules. Anyway, so let's go. We'll start here with item B, the first ballot. So this is just for us, for our voting. This will pertain to the 5th district and the student spot because there's a separate section when we have 2 at-large spots. So let's start with B. That would be for the 5th district and for the student. We would distribute ballots, and everyone would be able to vote for up to 4 candidates. That's because we can ultimately recommend to the legislature 2 to 4 people for each open spot. So the first ballot, you will be able to vote for 4 candidates. If a candidate or candidates receive 16 or more votes, or 2/3 of council, well, 16 or more votes is relevant here. The individual with the highest vote total is selected. If no candidate receives 16 or more votes, there's no selection. Item D, I'm in section B1D. If there is nobody, if somebody receives no votes at all, they are eliminated, and then we move to subsequent balloting. Kathy or... Matlock Madsen, are you anything? I feel like I'm not giving enough. I'm not giving enough color commentary here.
No, that's my nickname.
Oh, okay.
I think that's it. I think that we just need to know we're going to be voting the same process that we used before, where you're going to get a ballot, you get to vote for, and keep in mind, we're tasked from a legislative perspective on sending forward qualified candidates. So that's our standard. That's what we're going to be voting on. Is this, are the candidates we are putting forward qualified to be considered a reject? And so that's what our voting is going to be based on tomorrow. And then, you know, I'll just let you know, once we get through the first ballot, it always becomes a little bit of a free-for-all as we kind of see how the votes are shaking out, and then we kind of adjust based on the rules as we need to.
Yeah, a lot is done typically through rules suspensions at that part.
Kathy?
Yep.
Somebody
else.
Vice Chair Taylor.
On the first page, Roman numeral 2A1.
Yep.
Nobody will be forwarded without having a majority of the total council, which would be 13.
Well, so there's the majority of the total council membership is 24. We have 24 members.
The majority, though.
Yeah, but so you basically, yeah, so it'd be 13 off of that, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so I turn to the second page with 13 in mind.
The first ballot has a higher standard, Paul.
Just yeah. For
you've answered my question.
Yeah.
There's a higher threshold on that first ballot, and then once you go to the second ballot, it becomes normal majority.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
Yes, Representative Bernardi.
I appreciate that, and thank you. Council member, I don't know what we're called, but Erickson on this. I have to leave and be back in my mandatory training by 1. So my question is, do we, before all the voting takes place, do we collectively talk as a committee about
things
we're looking for?
I think what we did last time is we go through, we'll do the student first, 5th district second.
Go ahead.
Sorry, large next. So we'll go by though, and then typically I go through the list of who we've interviewed, and people can speak
on behalf
as to what their impressions were.
And then my follow-up question is, do we talk about, like, what our goals are of this, you know? I mean, as far as, like, the type of candidates we're looking for, because there's a lot of qualified candidates to serve, mm-hmm. but, like, we've talked about, there's will be no women on the regent board unless women are elected. I mean, do we talk about those types of things?
So I think that those things have been discussed at prior meetings when we've talked about selection criteria. And I believe people are factoring that in as they make their decisions. I don't know. We've never as a group set an agenda for what we feel is qualified. I think everyone knows what we're looking for. That's why we invite, you know, Regent McMillan to come in and the legislature to come in to tell us kind of what they're looking for and what we should take into consideration. And then as individual members, we filter that through in our voting. So, I mean, I think that we've talked about it quite a bit in previous meetings.
But right. What do you think should be done?
Councilmember Carlson.
Oh, sorry. This is my last meeting tomorrow.
I know.
You don't have to worry.
Okay. So I just would like to have some conversation beforehand because I think it would be helpful to at least have vetted a little bit because I wasn't here at those meetings.
Oh, fair enough.
You know, because
yeah.
I'm new. So it would be nice to see where people coalesce around some things. And then when we do vote, is that the outcome that we're getting? You know, I don't want to have people think that there's something that we want to accomplish and then we don't get that outcome in the end. So I don't really know how to articulate it, but...
Well, and I'll just tell you, that's not a practice we've had in the past. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean we can't have it. But, you know, we have sought a lot of input prior to these various meetings. So, you know, if people want to bring that up in the discussion points, it's perfectly fine. It's just not something...
I think usually that kind of manifests itself in the forms of rule suspensions.
Yeah.
Because if we, you know, if the balloting comes with a certain outcome... And there's someone. Usually, Mr. Erickson has a motion in hand to suspend the rules to, you know, cut it off at these three candidates or these, you know. So, but I, you know, if
at least five.
We certainly can have a more general discussion as we begin on each slot, if that.
Greg.
Yep. No, and I just want to follow up to that, and yep. then I got to leave. Yep. I just want, if that's okay, Chair,
is it Walter?
I just want to make sure I'm saying it right. Our esteemed member here, Taylor, he did remind me last year how I two years ago that I really encouraged him to come up with really strong candidates. And serving on this for the first time, I really want to tell you how impressed I was with the candidates that came before us. I was totally blown away, and there's definitely more than enough people to be qualified to serve on the regions. And so I thank you for the diligence and making that happen.
Thank you, Walter.
Paul. Our chair.
Vice chair.
Clarification. He chaired our recruitment committee.
All right, Margaret, you're not recognized. Senator Claus.
Losing control.
No.
I will yield.
I'll lead with a gavel.
Because we've got four positions, and because we have so many people that are applying for more than one position, I see this as being complicating the process a little bit. Is it fair to say that in that first round, you can use a person's name for more than one recommendation?
Vice Chair Mattson.
So what we have traditionally, and I checked, what we've done traditionally is we have respected the the box that's checked on the application. So we start there with the application. So if they've checked multiple boxes, we've allowed them to be in multiple categories. If they've only checked one box, we've stayed with that. So I think we're going to go through, kind of that process of elimination, start with the people who have, you put them in, like if they're in the 5th district and they've checked both boxes, we'll put them in the 5th district first and see how it goes, and then...
So we take each category one at a time?
Yes.
Yeah, so we conceivably start from the narrowest category, which is the student,
and then
the 5th, and then at large, so...
Potentially on a vote, if you're looking at all at once, you could actually need one person 3 times.
And it's been done twice, but not 3 times, right?
Yeah.
Multiple spots. Student who lives in the 5th district.
Student who lives in the 5th district could be all 3.
Well,
yeah.
You've got 2 open positions, too, at large positions.
Yeah. But if they haven't
not
checked
four
that
times,
box,
just...
we do 1 at-large vote.
It's going to seem like a free-for-all for those of you that are new, but I guarantee you there is structure and order.
Okay, so that you just
I think you, Councilmember Erickson was...
It's already a free-for-all.
Well, okay. Councilmember Brady.
Well, the representative is left, but my recollection, and I've done this a few times, is that we do have a chance to speak on behalf of a candidate. In so doing, if the St. Paul campus is one of your paramount concerns, or color or gender, all of those things, you will have an opportunity to make something said about that. And then the other thing, my recollection is we don't always pass that many on, but we can put as many as 6 through for each. Is that 4? 4 through for each. A couple of years, we only had 2 candidates. Somebody didn't want to run against a particularly strong candidate who happens to be the board chair up in the Duluth area. But so we will have an opportunity to do those things.
And it comes out.
Okay. Councilmember Erickson.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, you and I have talked about this morning, and I do not have a motion, at least today. I want to put out a proposition for you to think about overnight, and we'll have discussion tomorrow about whether this makes sense. This is my 5th rodeo, and so I've evolved in my thinking about our role. Kathy properly says that our major criteria was to make sure we sent people that are qualified. I'd like to add to that because I think this has been a very careful and well-done process. Paul has gotten terrific candidates. We have more than 4 qualified people in the 5th district. We have more than 8 qualified people in my view, in the at-large. We have more than 4 qualified. Well, we only have 4 qualified. I mean, really, 4 people that are checked the box in the 5th. So that's an outlier. So, but this group has taken a lot of time to come to a conclusion. We will spend more time with these candidates looking at their resumes and hearing from them than any legislator involved, including our chairs that are sitting right here. Well, they're going to spend a lot more time because they'll all be asked to have. But with that exception, so I am moving toward having us not just say these are qualified, to actually tell the legislature what we think of the, let me say, the tiers, you know, the most strongest candidates, the middle candidates, not the lowest candidates. And there's two ways we can do that. One would be a radical change, which I wouldn't do now, but we need to think about it in the next cycle. Go back to ordinal voting, you know. You put your eight people or your four people, one, two, three, four, five, you add it up, and we'd come with a ranking. I mean, I'm not proposing that, but that would give the legislature, and I think it's, we have earned the right to say more than just you're qualified. So I'm going to argue that we do that. No, I'm not going to argue that we change that system because we haven't come in. But I am going to suggest and talk about, and I hope you'll think about it, take the example of B1, a district, okay, and let's use the fifth district. In the rules here, it says the initial ballot for each seat, each council member can vote for up to four candidates. In that case, we only have four. We'd probably, most of us would vote for all four. Now, some would leave off a couple names, but that is a hard, that doesn't do much distinction between those people. I would like to talk about it and see if you think about it. I will make a motion tomorrow that in this case, we change that rule to say up to two on the initial ballot. And then that would allow us to really say who our two strongest are, and we go from there. The same way with the at-large group, it says here in these rules we could vote for eight. Well, we won't agree on the same eight, I know that. We're diverse people. But I'd rather see us, on the first pass, the top four. My top four that we're going to send forward, your top four, the accumulation of that. So I'd like you to think about it because I think we are entitled to say more than just you're qualified, and I think the legislature would like to hear
one,
that.
One clarification, your ballot actually won't just have the four that we interviewed,
correct?
It will have everybody that applied for the 5th District, which includes about half of the students.
Yeah. Thank you.
Just for clarification.
And I'm also just going to say that I'm going to research this overnight, but statutorily, we are not asked to give an opinion. We are only asked to send people forward for the legislature to consider, and they are the deciders. So, I just want to make that clear that that is not our role in this process.
Let me say that I understand that statutorily, but I've talked to a number of legislators, and they have expressed the view that they'd like to hear our, let's call it ranking, our view. That's a view. I don't think it violates the statute.
But it's not there. And I just want to make that clear to the broader council that is not legislatively what we are asked to do. And I think that if the legislature wants our opinion, that they should change the rules and ask for it. I just want to put it out there.
I'm going to put it on the table. I think it's an appropriate thing to do. And I think sometimes we have to lead the legislature, not follow them.
Well, and there are other options here, too. We could, we normally just report a list of names. We could report voting totals and stuff. And then
here's your...
Excuse me. Let's be respectful here, or we will... I will have you removed. Do we have a sergeant-at-arms?
Tell the sergeant-at-arms to get the right sweater vest out.
I think it's great.
Not you.
Okay, did we have anybody else looking for serious... Paul, did you actually have a serious point? My point, before I was rudely interrupted, was we can communicate the recommendations, and literally in the past it has been a list of names, and I think we've always discussed, do we need to put them in order of how many votes they were, you know, they received? I don't know that we've never done that in my, however, four rodeos. But Jerry?
No, well, please.
Vice Chair Taylor
confirmed my assumption that a student who checked box 5 will be on the ballot tomorrow.
In District 5.
I think that's always how it is, unless they've been elected in a previous.
Wow.
If they've been elected as the student, or if they've won in the student, then they're removed for the 5th, I think, typically, right?
Yeah.
What do we start again?
Is there a student?
Okay. Councilmember
Just a comment,
Rogers.
I've been here the same number of years as as Mr. Erickson has. And
really?
Yeah. Maybe more, I don't know. But this is the first time that I remember, in fact, I'm certain that the first time we've actually had legislative people sitting in on our meeting during the entire time.
Yes.
So my point is, it's going to, some of this is going to get there because of the people that are here sitting in the meeting. But that doesn't mean they're going to talk to everybody in the meeting.
I think that we've always had really good participation. The last time we had really good Eric participation Pratt. From the Senate.
Yeah.
Senator Pratt and Senator Terry Bonhoff the last two times, but the House. Anyway, no, valid point. Not to rebut it. Not to pull a Taylor on you.
I would say,
Babs.
I wanted to ask you that about how they're recorded because the meetings are public and the vote totals are set in the meeting, so we're not saying anything out of school if we let people know. We're saying what they would have to listen to a lot of conversation to find out who were our highest voters. And I think some people will appreciate that. And when you say, if it is our goal legislatively to report who is qualified, the list of, quote, qualifications is in the resident of Minnesota, check that box. You don't need me to figure, you know. The rest of it is us collectively applying our judgment to a lot of subjective qualities to say who in terms of leadership, collaborative style, crisis management, attentiveness.
You know, land grant mission.
All of that is a very subjective sort of collective wisdom of our group. By spending a lot of time doing it. So I am concerned sometimes when we move someone along as a because we feel we should, but they're perhaps not our best candidate. And if I were on the other side of it and did not have the time that our three legislators have had to really understand our strongest reference, I would like voting totals or some other indication from us.
I will say that
it is a subjective judgment. But to say that we're legislatively who's qualified, then you really don't need the council at all because qualified is resident.
But that's not true because we have other selection criteria that we use.
That are very subjective.
That's true, but you know, by passing them on, we think that they could be a regent. And I think we all have our preference on who we think would be stronger, but I think that's why we vote and pass things on, because we're collectively kind of deciding that these rise to the top of the people that we've interviewed.
And if they all rise to the top with similar vote totals, then you would say, wow, collectively, we all, you know, the significant majority of us believe. I like the idea of some
Senator Clausen. Senator Clausen.
I'm just kind of thinking, what is the problem we're trying to solve? We will be visited by all candidates that are going to be referred. We have a good idea. They share documentation of their candidacy. We have conversations with them. I look back. The biggest problem we've had is people circumventing the system and being reinserted in the voting process. If the voting process just proceeds as it should, I'm not sure we ever put someone into a regent position that was not qualified. The problem has come up with circumventing the system and reinserting a person for political, basically, reasons. So that's just a comment, and I don't know, Paul, where you're at on that, but anyway, that's my comment.
Senator Anderson.
Mr. Chair.
Advil over there.
No, I'm good. I'm right. Get my water. I think once it passes this group with the recommendations, I think there's chance of blowback from certain legislators if you try and impose the will of the RCAC on legislators, which will then cause, potentially, a circumvention of the process. So I would just say we've done our vetting, and yes, we've talked about it with almost every candidate. Here's the process. Once you pass here, then it's your job to go lobby these legislators. And yes, there's some legislators that have been through the process say, I don't have time to sit down with each candidate, but that's 201 legislators' prerogative, is to reach out to one of us or somebody else of knowledge of the system and say, what do you think of these candidates? I would suggest that that's how we go. I think I would be careful of really pushing a recommendation of priority.
And the other thing is that both groups will caucus. We will caucus before the vote, and we'll review the candidates again in a group. You know, we do it separately. Republicans do it separately, Democrats. So, I mean, that's another step in the process that maybe you weren't aware of, but we do caucus that, and we spend
time. No, I'm not advocating that ranking. So I was just, in response to Jim's thought, that we needed to provide a little more qualitative.
Sure.
Okay.
I'd mark it.
Councilmember Christensen.
As someone who was a long time ago in the legislature, when I was here,
back in the day,
you got your sweater, Bill.
Yes. I'm not wearing a tie, I don't have a jacket, nothing. What was I talking about?
Senior moment.
You know, when we've had conversations about the RCAC, and I've been in the legislature for a number of times when the legislature has elected somebody who didn't come through the RCAC process, and the frustration a lot of times was feeling like there weren't enough candidates forwarded through the process. There wasn't enough diversity, gender and ethnic diversity, as well as diversity in kind of opinions on their vision for the university. So when because I've voted for candidates that haven't come through the RCAC process.
We know.
I know everyone in here knows that, but I just thought I'd say it again.
I want to talk to you later.
Margaret, you already knew. But to talk, it wasn't, wanting to just go around the RCAC process. It's feeling like there wasn't a candidate that represented the viewpoint that the legislature was looking for. So I think I think it's important that we're sending through more candidates. That's a point I've made previously. Trying to fill, not that you absolutely have to fill out the slate, but if there are, and I think we've heard from a lot of qualified candidates, that we're filling out the slate. I know when I was in the legislature and had a vote, I took it very seriously. Extended in multiple interviews with every candidate that came through the process. Would do searching for background information, all those kinds of things. And I think the legislature is interested in that. I think especially when we're looking to increase diversity on the Board of Regents, I have strong concerns that if we're sending forth smaller slates of candidates that might include candidates of diverse backgrounds, that the legislature then might make the decision that none of those candidates really have the vision that they're looking for the university, and go with a candidate that maybe isn't as diverse and maybe isn't as qualified because they fit more of their vision of what they're trying to send to the governing board of the university. So I think we should be very careful about trying to impose our will on the legislature and really do our role to offer up diversity of background, diversity of thought, and allow the legislature to make their choice.
Who's next? Bill or Theo?
Either way. You can go ahead.
Bill.
Thank you. What we're doing is discussing whether we add weight to our decision, or whether if we are in a legal process and, we're sort of the lower council below delegation from the legislature. If it goes up to the next level, the question is, should they review our work in some level of detail, or should we add more to it, or should they do it de novo? I am going to think about that overnight. I do want to, I think six cycles ago, we had a particularly good candidate, Dr. Kennedy, who ran, I think, the University of Maine.
Yes.
We were so, if you will, smitten with him that we decided to put him through in his own district and then also add him a second time, just for emphasis, as an at-large candidate. And I think it worked against him rather than for him, and it was a total backfire. But just a comment from history.
Yeah, I would just reiterate some of the points that Representative Christensen and Vice Chair Madsen have made. We should stick closely to what the statute lays out for us, and I think for as much as we may have heard certain representatives or senators who were interested in our opinion on this, that's not our role. And I think many more legislators and the legislators in this room can speak to this, would not be happy with us trying to politic, you know, around with this situation. So I recommend caution on that. And I know I haven't been here for as long, but that's just...
Second cycle, you're a veteran. So I think I kind of got us on a tangent from what you were actually trying to accomplish there, Jim. So do you want to go back?
I wanted to lay the idea out. I don't disagree, and I have great respect for our two senators that are here. I don't think my suggestion that we... first of all, there will be reported votes. There will be some differentiation. That will happen. And there's no question whether we did four or two. I'm just suggesting that, for example, in the case of four, if we just the first ballot voted for two, that would be saying. And I don't think that's something that we're entitled to do. It's not telling the legislature what they got to do. We're not going around that process. I object to that characterization. I think it's information that we put a lot of time into that we get to bring forward, and they can respect it or not. So we'll talk about it tomorrow. I will put that motion on the table. If it goes down, that's fine. We can all, by the way, I can vote for two instead of four. I can vote for up to four, and I can do that myself, and we all could do that. In effect, and maybe hamstringing people isn't the case, but I think it's an idea. I think we're moving in the direction of letting the legislature know that there's a qualitative difference between number one and number eight that we're going to send forward. And I certainly never suggested that we wouldn't send it's two to four at each slot. We should send four in each of the two slots and eight in the at large. There's no question in this case where they're all fully qualified, so I didn't want to suggest less.
It might be. Bill?
One of the concerns I have, it is public record on the vote and the count, whether they got over the threshold. But there are 21 of us in the room. I don't know how many will be voting tomorrow. But with each ballot, there's a fresh 21 out of the gate. And so,
and a lower
and there's a lower number of candidates, and so I think it skews the methodology of counting because there are different standards on each vote.
Good point. Okay. If you're not thoroughly confused, we'll see you tomorrow.